Welcome to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Usually the show would be on video, but today we're having some technical difficulties. So just to make the show clear, to make sure it stays clear, we're doing audio today. Now, I've spoken to several people in the last few days and I handed them my card and they said they were interested in talking about this, the subject that I'm going to be discussing today. So if any of my listeners want to call in, the number here is 888-627-6008. And I'm going to be repeating that number throughout the hour in case people show up a little bit late. We started the show late, so just bear with me and thank you so much for your patience. The power of synergy. What is synergy? Well, if you look it up online in a dictionary, it says it's the interaction or cooperation of two or more organizations, substances, or other agents to produce a combined effect greater than the sum of their separate effects. Okay. So what does that mean with people? Well, it means that we become exponentially more when we come together. Not addition, not multiplication, powers. We actually have exponential power. So let's use an example of that. 3 + 5 = 8. 3 × 5 = 15. But you know what? 3^5 is 243. Do you know the power that you have when you come together with people? And what do you want to do with that power? Energy is a very influential force. There is no neutral energy. You are either positive or you are negative. And when you say, I don't care, that's indifference. Indifference is negative. So when you have social power, that comes with responsibility, whether you like it or not. Responsibility comes with accountability. In your mind, who, if anyone, are you accountable to? The people in your life, maybe an institution, maybe a higher power. Do you have accountability and how do you define that personally? Okay, well, you know what? Everybody has their own opinion. But you know, it was interesting. I was actually on public transportation yesterday and I was having a debate, a man who wanted to kind of start a fight with me, but he was an INTJ. So I took it with a grain of salt. He was determined to reject the possibility that he cares about people. He just doesn't care. Well, you know what? I called him out on it. Yeah, he cares a lot. And the things that he cares about, he says that it doesn't affect him. Yeah, it does. Humans affect humans. That's how we're built. That's our constitution. We have an emotional and a mental and a social and a physical constitution. When they all come together, that creates our soul. So today, I'm going to be talking about something that's a very powerful force in our life, our sexuality. Yeah, the synergy that we create with the people in our lives through our sexual behavior, it's a very influential force. And we are highly accountable for the things that we do with our sexuality to and with and around other people. No doubt you have an opinion. Well, you know what? Everybody has an opinion. And in the United States, freedom of speech, people just throw their opinions around without thinking about how they're going to affect other people. So I don't mind answering questions today. I've been coaching for 16 years and I've only had a handful of people actually directly ask me questions about sex in our relationship coaching. Some people have come to me saying, I want to find a mate. Some people have come to me saying, I want a mate. I think I want a new mate. And some people have said, no, I want to make the mate that I have with me create something better. I actually do want to improve my life with what I currently have. Rarely are they satisfied with their sexuality, not the activity levels, but their daily existence around sex. And when we talk about the dynamics of sexuality, you can be healthy and happy whether you are currently sexually active or not. You do not have to be sexually active in order to be healthy and happy, even though our constitution is very much about our sexuality. Wow, well, wait a minute. That doesn't make any sense. How can you be sexually not active and still be fulfilled? Well, you know what? One of the favorite quotes that I like to recite to people is, when you are happy with your sexuality, sex is only about 10% of your life. When you are unhappy, it is 90%. Whoa. Okay. That right there. Let's just start right there, because I'll just tell everybody, and I don't know if you've seen my picture on the website or maybe on the video shows that I've done before, but yes, I have a very physically, aesthetically pleasing face. A lot of men tell me I'm very attractive. And at least 5 men hit on me daily because I'm on public transportation. I'm walking into businesses. I'm interacting with between 150 and 200 people a day. So yeah, men tell me a lot that I am attractive. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen, it's not all it's cracked up to be. But that's okay, because I know what to say and how to say it. I basically ask them, well, thank you very much, I appreciate it, but if you know that we are never going to have sex, do you still want to keep talking to me? Okay, you know what? Some of them really appreciate the fact that I tell them right out, yeah, you don't have any chance to score. Other men are, okay, yeah, no, that's all I wanted. I just wanted to see if I could make something happen. No, I can move on to something else. But also, some men hit on me because I'm fun. I'm pleasurable to be around. My physical beauty is only what gets their initial attention. It does not hold their interest for an extended period of time. Yesterday on the bus, I met 2 great men. They were going in the same direction I was going. And one of them actually missed his stop because we were talking. We were having a great time with a fabulous conversation. I handed both of them my card and they said, yeah, I want to listen to your show. Who are you? I've never met anyone like you. You have great energy. But unfortunately, the sexual revolution in the 60s and 70s completely destroyed accountability between people because it created extreme narcissism and it destroyed accountability. The commitment, the loyalty, the trust, even vulnerability between humans that sexual intimacy creates, they were all compromised and very distorted. Well, okay, but let's think about it just in the logistics, the common sense. Can a man and a woman just be friends? Isn't jealousy or sexual desire going to compromise that potential to have a mutually respectful, respectable, platonic dynamic? No, not at all. My best friend is a man. And my husband is Mexican. He has never been jealous. I've been married for 28 years. My husband is not jealous. Why? Because he knows that there are boundaries, emotional boundaries and physical boundaries that are not negotiable. A lot of people don't believe that I was a virgin when I married my husband, and I've never been with anybody but my husband. Yeah. And I have a lot of male friends that I love, I care about very deeply, and they care about me because they know we have mutually set, established, and accepted boundaries that are not negotiable. Well, you know what is interesting, actually? Before we got married, my husband asked me a question because we were very interested in each other before we even started dating. By the time we started dating, I was so excited and he was so excited. We were very attracted to each other, but we said, look, what are we doing here? Is this really potentially marriage material, what we're doing here? Because my father always told me as a little girl, if he loves you, he'll wait. You always have a standard of don't ever give yourself to a man who doesn't think you are worth the wait. Wow. Okay. So this guy, I knew him for a long time before we even started dating, and we established in the beginning, we're not going to sleep together until we sign on the dotted line. Well, that was great. But one day he asked me a question. He said, you know what? I want to kind of give you a hypothesis, right? A theory here. If you and I had been married, we're married for about 10 years and we had 2, maybe 3 kids and things were going really well. And we had what you would consider to be a good marriage. One day I just came home from work and I said, honey, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I had an affair. I slept with a woman, but I don't love her. I love you. And I'm sorry. It was a mistake. But you know what? She hit on me and I just couldn't resist. I don't know what I was thinking, but I'm very sorry. And I'm being honest with you. I really want to work on our marriage because maybe there's something going on. Would you forgive me? I said, of course I would forgive you. What kind of a question is that? He said, what? Why in the world would you forgive me? And I said, well, first, several reasons. First of all, because I know that as a man, you're constantly horny. And so if any woman ever hit on you, you can't say no. Physiologically, it's impossible for a man to resist a woman. Number two, you're Mexican. So you're practically raised to be unfaithful. That whole machismo garbage that you guys are raised with is pretty much going to guarantee not if, but when you're going to be unfaithful to me, I'm just going to have to deal with it. Third, if we have a good family, I'm not going to be stupid enough to throw it away over one act of stupidity because, you know, men are just kind of stupid and you do stupid things every day. And more importantly, if you are honest with me, I would absolutely appreciate it. And I wouldn't, I'd be willing to work on it. How about that? And he said, wrong. I said, what? What are you talking about? He said, no, of course not. You don't ever forgive a man when he's unfaithful. And I said, why not? And he said, first of all, because men know exactly what they're doing. And if they love a woman and they are truly committed to a woman, they are not unfaithful ever. He said, you don't ever accidentally slip in and out of a woman. And I said, okay, all right. You don't need to be sarcastic. And he said, no. And the truth is, if a man is in love with you, he's never going to be tempted by another woman because his heart and his mind are with you. That is the source of his body. And number three, if I come to you and say, by the way, I was unfaithful to you, are you okay with it? All that means is I'm fishing for permission to do it again. And I said, whoa, okay. Okay. I guess that means infidelity on my part is a not negotiable. And he said, nope. The minute you're unfaithful to me, I'm going to walk away because I know you're not with me anymore. And I said, whoa, okay. Sex is a pretty important thing, and it's a pretty potent topic. So what we're going to do is we're going to take our first real quick break. When we come back, I'm going to go ahead and move on to the new topic, and that is the actual dynamics of sex, an overview of human sexuality. So if you have any questions, again, the number here is 888-627-6008. This is The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Welcome back to The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Today, we're talking about the very potent topic of human sexuality, especially when it comes to relationships and the synergy that we create when we are sexually active with people. Now, I really do think that most people, unfortunately, have been very misinformed. They've been very misled simply because the media and society, different, we'll call them institutions and corporations, have really decided to maximize on something that's beautiful and that's a huge part of who we are. And that's our sexuality because it is such a powerful force in our life. As a relationship coach, I've been talking to people about how to connect with people and how to stay connected and how to use their personal power to create synergy with other people in a healthy and proactive and happy way. Yeah, that's an important thing. The statement that, you know what, if your sex life is good, it's about 10% of your life. If it's bad, it's about 90%. Yeah, yeah, our sexuality is huge. But when we think about what we are as humans, we're not animals. We have four elements that are involved in our sexual relations. It's about relating. There's a physical, the mental, the emotional, and the social. We are built. We have the constitution to mate for life. People don't think that marriage is a practical or realistic goal anymore. Well, they're wrong. It's very important to remember that what we truly want is companionship. We really do want to be together as people. And yes, a lifelong commitment and a permanent connection where all four of those different elements come together and work together, that solidifies the foundation for society, which is, again, reproduction. We're not going to keep our society going if we don't maintain that very important activity of reproduction. But you know what? You're not always going to have someone in your life, but you're still going to have your sexuality. So you know what? What do most people do? They masturbate. You have that pressure. You have that buildup. You have that desire. Yeah, you know what? You got to relieve yourself somehow. But actually, that's very toxic to your soul. It's good for your body because it does give you that short-term relief. But long-term, it doesn't really do you any true good for your spirit, your energy, your heart, your mind, or your body. Now, again, I'm going to remind people of the number. I can imagine people have questions about that too. But the 888-627-6008. If you have a question or a comment, feel free to call in and ask me. Now, what we're actually doing when we masturbate is create frustration because it's addictive and it's never truly gratifying because it removes the human factor, the bonding part of sexuality. Orgasm, chemistry, and composition are actually about four different elements that, when combined, create energy and relaxation at the same time. That doesn't make any sense. It almost seems like a paradox. How can you be relaxed and energized at the same time? There's dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphins. Wow, those are some good hormones. All four of them are released at the same time. But guess what, ladies and gentlemen? There is one other human activity that has the exact same effect. That's laughter. Yeah, when you laugh, a genuine, really good laugh, heartfelt, you get all four of those same hormones: dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphins. And yeah, people don't believe that I don't masturbate. How is that possible? Because you know what? They can tell that I have a lot of sexual energy. When I call my husband on the phone, they can see that I get very excited and that I flirt with him. Yeah. How can I be away from my husband for 10 months? Last year I was for 10 months and I didn't masturbate when I was away from him. How is that possible? Well, you know what? Great thing. All four of those hormones that your body needs, it will create them and it will provide them to you. Most of the time, I had enough laughter in my life to provide all of those biochemical processes, all of those releases to occur in my body. But you know what? As I was told growing up, teenage boys know this dynamic very well, wet dreams. You can have erotic dreams if you take good physical care of yourself. And we'll talk about that a little later. But again, the pornography industry and the sexual revolution undermined people and their relationships that they had with each other, teaching and propelling lies about what we each need. We don't need the raw animal behavior of just survival to decompress and to release all that pressure. And no, we don't. Our body takes excellent care of us in other ways. Okay, but now just before we take our next break, I'm going to give a real quick overview of the variables of personality. Now, as I'm saying these things, kind of ask yourself, because usually this test will take an hour because it's about 150 questions. But as I go through each of the dichotomies, ask yourself which one feels more natural to you. The first one is about your social energy. You are either an introvert or an extrovert. Okay. Yeah, well, so I'm both. No, you're one or the other. An introvert is someone who really does want to be alone in order to generate energy that they spend on their friends. Ask yourself three questions. When you have a special event, do you want as many people there as possible, or just the special people in your life? Then you're probably an introvert. When you're talking with people, how difficult is it for you when they start to become loud and you have to come loud over them in order to be heard? Well, if you're an extrovert, that's fine. If you're an introvert, you don't like it. The next thing I ask is, when you are interrupted by someone, how much does it bother you? Well, extroverts don't even notice because they'll go ahead and interrupt you too. Okay, but an introvert would say, I'm going to stop talking. The second one is your focus. Well, you're either sensory or intuitive. I'll ask three questions on this. Just keep in mind what comes the most naturally for you. When you're walking around the block or going to a new place, how easy is it for you to get lost? An intuitive would say, yeah, you know what? I've been to the same place 4 times and I still don't remember how to get there. Okay, then you're probably intuitive. A sensor remembers everything. Well, okay, when you try new stuff, even if it's unpleasant, sensory stimulating things like food, will you do it just for the experience of the stimulation? Then you're probably sensor. An intuitive would say, you know what? I'm imagining how bad that's going to be and just imagining it was bad enough for me. The third question is, when you talk about things, are you about the literal or the figurative? When you're talking about, where are you? An intuitive would say, about life, where are you in your life, in your mind, in your heart? A sensor would say, I'm right in front of you. Hello. What kind of a stupid question is that? Yep, that'd be a sensor. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and take a real quick break. Just think about those things and what they mean to you personally and how often in your life are you really that way? Okay, when we come back, we're going to go over the last two parts of your personality. That's making a decision and carrying out the decisions that you've made. If you have any questions, again, any comments you want to make, the number to the station here is 888-627-6008. My name is Gabrielle Cardona, and this is The Power of Synergy. Welcome back to The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona, and today we're talking about human sexuality and what that means to you, whether you're a sexually active person or not. You could be celibate, but you're still very sexual. So the first two parts of your personality that we discussed that are a big part of your sexuality and how it will manifest are your social energy, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, the focus that your mind generally has throughout the day. You're either sensory or intuitive. The next one is about how you make decisions in your life. You're either a thinker or a feeler. Some people really want to resist making a commitment to one or the other because they think feelers are overly emotional and they think if you're not a thinker, you're stupid. That's not true. Thinker or feeler is about when you're making decisions, do you care more about being logical and rational or sensitive and generous to other people's feelings? Well, here's some questions. When you are trying to make people happy, are you inclined to do it to your own detriment? A feeler would say, yeah, it's more important to make other people happy than myself, even if it means I'm doing myself harm in the process. Yeah, no, a thinker would be fine saying, sorry if you're unhappy, but this is the right thing to do. Well, when you're making decisions, are you more about logical and rational decisions? Or are you about being thoughtful and considerate? Even if it doesn't make sense, if it makes someone happy, that makes sense. And when you have to say no to someone and you know it's going to hurt them, is it hard for you? Does it cause you more pain than the person that you said no to? You're probably a feeler. And then the last part of your personality, how do you carry out the decisions that you've made? Are you a perceiver or are you a judger? Some questions I like to ask people. These are pretty clear questions and people know almost immediately if they're one or the other. When you have something to do, do you like to make lists? Judgers love to make lists. Perceivers, yeah, sure, they'll make a list, but they'll lose it halfway through the day. A judger will not only have that list, but if they do something that's not on their list, they will write it down just so they can scratch it off. Which leads to the next question, do you have more energy at the beginning or the end of a project? A judger gets more and more energy as they get closer and closer to the end, and they're not going to rest until it's finished. Well, you know what? Perceivers start 100 different things throughout the day, and they forget which ones they finished. And then The last question is, how important is it for you to be on time? A judger would rather be 53 minutes early than 3 minutes late. Yeah, a perceiver says, well, it didn't really start until I showed up. Okay, so now, why is this important to remember? Because there's all kinds of things that you have mentally and emotionally and physically going on in your life that will be the foundation of what you do sexually. How important are different activities for you, and how do you approach them? Well, when you have a disposition, there are going to be things that matter more than others to you. That doesn't mean you're not going to do a whole variety of things. It's about functionality. Which ones do you do the most? Which ones are negotiable, and which ones are disposable? Do you know what really is the most important for you? There are the four different dispositions that when you mix and match all of those different dichotomies, you can come up with 16 different personalities. Well, the nice thing is they are able to be classified into a disposition. There are four personalities in each of the four dispositions. So a real quick once over is the sensory judgers. Now, remember that the orgasm produces four different chemicals. The most important chemical for sensory judgers is dopamine. That's the most helpful element because it improves blood flow and it's a neurotransmitter. It's a feel-good hormone, but it also plays a role as a reward. SJs like to feel satisfied, and it's produced by the adrenal gland, so it helps improve memory and movement. Behavior and cognition are also improved, so the overall daily practical value of dopamine is universal. But how are you going to get it without having sex? There's several different ways. Getting a good sleep routine going, having enough exercise, sunshine, and listening to music all provide shots of dopamine. You can get it without having sex, but again, laughter is great. Well, okay, orgasm for NFs. Oxytocin is the most needed element for NFs because it's about bonding and connection. It creates warm and fuzzy feelings that need to be experienced with someone else. And again, there's more joy in giving than in receiving. It's the whole premise of intimate relations and personal connection. Yeah, you know what? Orgasm is nice for the oxytocin. But again, sometimes we can laugh so hard we actually cry, and that releases an extra dose of oxytocin. It creates trust and intimacy. Once someone has had an experience with someone else and that oxytocin has been released, they truly bond with that person. Well, orgasm for an NT is about serotonin. That's vitally important in life because it actually slows the brain down and creates peace. NTs are constantly on in their brain, in their mind. They literally are like computers. They don't shut off. But serotonin relaxes the brain without turning it off. So they can continue to have profound and complex thoughts without going into overdrive or being exhausted. Yeah, that improves the memory, which is what the NT really likes because they're thinking all the time. And the more information they have, the happier they'll be. But you know what? Besides orgasm, massage, sunlight boosts serotonin activity, so does laughing. Okay, and so when it's very important to bond with other people, they want to let people into their private life of their inner world and their memories. But how about for a sensory perceiver? Well, you know what? They love endorphins. Endorphins are very addictive because they promote energy and relieve pain. The feeling of well-being is motivational. SPs are the kind of people who just like to just do it. That's why they'll enjoy drugs like crystal meth, which is a synthetic way to produce endorphins. It's a huge energy booster for them. But you know what? Dancing and listening to music also release endorphins. So do exercise and, again, yes, laughter. So to connect with a person that they had an orgasm with or laughed with, to make that person a consistent element in all of the fun and energetic activities that they will inevitably make as part of their lifestyle, SPs are very much about endorphins. Now, this is an important thing to remember. How do you even know what's important to you? You have to take the time to get to know yourself. And probably even more important, you need to get to know others. Yeah, take the time. It takes a lot of time. But is it worth the investment? Yeah, because what we're going to talk about when we come back is principles of sexuality. There are certain dynamics that as humans, you have, well, whether you're with someone or you're alone, because again, you have your humanity that is not going to go away. And your sexuality is only going to be a problem or an issue if you're not taking care of yourself. Again, putting the mask on yourself. We all know that it's very important to take good self-care. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, you are only going to take as good of care of someone else as you do of yourself first. And the great thing about there's more joy in giving than in receiving is when you have a good quality, high quality state, you are going to give better things to people. You won't have to give such a high quantity of those things, and they will appreciate it and they will trust you. That, again, is the basis for good synergy, and it's the power that comes with responsibility and the accountability that is the foundation for relationships. And again, the number to the station here is 888-627-6008. If you have any questions, go ahead and call in. We're going to be moving into the different principles, again, the human principles of human behavior. When we come back, this is The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Welcome back to The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Today, we're having some technical difficulties, so we're just doing the show audio today. But if you have any questions, feel free to call in. The number to the station is 888-627-6008. Now, one of the jokes before I go in to the next part of the show here, that my son told me, sorry, I'm thinking in Spanish now. It was such a great joke. I think he told it to me when he was about 13 years old. It was the computer's gender. Now, the Spanish teacher was explaining that in Spanish, things are feminine or masculine. So you have to put an article, el or la, in front of the word. El refrigerador, la máquina, la comida, el coche. Well, one of the students, it was an adult class, said, is it el computador or la computadora? And she said, well, what do you think it's more like, a man or a woman? And he said, no, you know what? Forget it. Never mind. I withdraw the question, because everyone started laughing. And he goes, no. The teacher said, you know what? We're gonna turn this into a game. I think I touched a nerve here. Men are over here, women over there. Talk it out. Tell me if you think this thing's more like a guy or a gal, as she'd made a gesture towards her computer. And the men started laughing. They got out pen and paper and they started scribbling and whispering. And she goes, well, what are you doing? What are you doing? This is just a game. What are you writing down? And they said, oh man, this thing's such a chick. It's not even funny. We're writing a list of all the reasons why this thing practically has breasts. And she said, okay, stop. How many things do you have on your list? And they said, four. She said, okay, that's good. Why don't you go ahead and read them to me? And the guy said, okay, first of all, only their creator understands their logic. Number two, they speak a language only they can interpret. Number three, they store every mistake you ever make in their long-term memory so they can retrieve them forever, right? And finally, you never stop buying accessories for them. And the teacher thought, oh my God, that's such a good list. I can't even argue with any of those things. Ladies, I'm dying. Save me here. And they said, no. This thing's a guy. We'll tell you why. We got four reasons too. Number one, they won't do anything for you until you turn them on. Number two, you can give them all the information in the world, day and night. they still can't think for themselves. Number three, they claim to be able to solve any problem in the world. But you know what? In real life, when push comes to shove, they usually are the problem. And number four, you know, if you had just waited 6 months, you could have had a much better one. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is we love to hate each other. We will always have complaints about each other. But the point is we're always going to be together and we're always going to need to know how to be together, whether we are in a relationship, a sexual relationship or not. One of the things that I tell people is sexuality has principles. There are certain dynamics that will never change and that are the same in men and women. Again, you need to know on a conscientious level, on a mindful level, who you are and what you need, what you do. Okay, you know what? We have different needs, again, as different personalities. But when it comes to celibacy, I like to use the example of one of my friends. I didn't get permission from him to use his name, but he's one of my closest friends now. He actually took care of me one day when I was having a seizure, so I trust him very much. And my husband is not jealous of the fact that he's a very good friend of mine. He has been celibate for his whole life, and he has absolutely no intentions of getting married. He's in his early 40s, but you know what? He laughs all the time. I would say every probably 5 minutes or so, he will either say something amusing or he will appreciate the humor in daily life activities. It really is about taking care of yourself emotionally. And when people know what they need and they can reach out for it and manifest it in their life, they absolutely can go without it. But here is what I want everybody to understand and appreciate. It kind of sounds vulgar to say this, but we all know it's true. A man only has enough blood for one head at a time. I know that that sounds horrible, but how many men would deny that? It's not a bad thing. It means that men are created to do one of three things at all times for a woman: to provide, to protect, or to procreate. Those are very important functions. Those are very important motivations in life. And when a man really is about procreating, he's very determined to do what he needs to do. And science has shown that when a man has synapses going on in his brain, it really is about all of them being in one spot, one part of the brain. So he gets a lot of activity going. Women go from one hemisphere of the brain to the other, back and forth. And that's why they can multitask, because they have the ability to distribute their mental focus along a lot of different lines in order to perform many, many different activities. But you know what? When a man is very, very turned on and when he's very attracted emotionally and mentally to a woman, he gets very focused and he turns into a different man. Other things aren't important to him and he has a hard time focusing. Well, yeah, women, ladies, we have power over men, whether they're married or not, whether we are married to them or not. Women, behave yourselves. You have power. Unfortunately, like I said earlier, I was told that men really are pigs and all they care about is selfish sexual activity, and they'll abuse women and take advantage of them and abandon them. That's not true. Men are very emotionally invested in their intimate activities and they are very committed to the women that they love. Like my husband said, if a man is truly with a woman, he is very committed and he is very disciplined and he's very unselfish. He's generous. So when women know that men have the inclination to be focused on only one thing at a time, they have a responsibility to be accountable for their actions and not provoke or stimulate men that they know they will not give that activity to. And when you have relations, sexual relations with a lot of people, you reduce and remove the value of that contact that you've had with that person. You really do need to take care of yourself. You also need to take care of others. Okay, so when we're talking about health as a factor, I've mentioned many different things that are important for you to do for yourself as taking care of yourself. But think about this just again in the logistics. How much can you do for yourself to get yourself in a high quality state so that you don't need to do things like, yeah, having sex with people, masturbating to relieve yourself? You really are going to be okay just taking care of your basic physical needs because your body will take care of you. One of the things I tell people, health is a factor. The healthier you are, the healthier you become. But it's a process and you have to get rid of your toxicity in small steps. Well, I've always told people too, the fact that your exercise, your diet, your activity, your rest, they're all very, very important. Well, which one is the source? Which one is the cause? Which one is the effect? Most people think if you lose weight based on your diet, then you're going to have more energy, then you're going to sleep better. No, it really comes down to get more active, doing things that you love, have a good time having that activity in your life, and it will manifest more energy and it will create better quality rest. Because when you have all three of those elements, they even feed off of each other and propel each other. Yeah, you end up getting all of those effects at the same time. If you are physically active and you have good quality sleep, you will crave good, healthy food. And when you get rid of the toxicity, the emotional toxicity that comes from sleep deprivation, your constitution will change. And the great thing about sleep, I always tell people, is that testosterone, yeah, you get a lot of testosterone at night. All of the things that your body is doing, especially in your dreams, to recenter you and rebalance you. Yeah, that's why you have wet dreams. And that's why when you wake up and you feel that pressure, well, you know what? If you take good care of yourself, you can actually have that release before you wake up so that biochemically, all four of those hormones that have been released are making you feel very happy. You're getting in a very good mood before you even wake up. Well, that's an important thing to remember. But one of the things that people don't really think about is crying. That's actually good for recentering. Sometimes we just have a need, especially when we're tired, to cry. But you know, the chemicals that you release, the hormones that you release, are going to relax you and recenter your spiritual balance with your physical balance. And so when you're tired and you can't take a nap, but you feel the urge to cry and you have no good reason, you need to let that out and you need to cooperate with your body, because that will actually encourage you to go back to sleep and it will make the quality of your sleep better. That again is going to reset everything. It's almost as good as exercise because it resets your hormonal balance. Okay. When we come back, we're going to talk about some practical advice about how to take care of yourself when you're single in a way that will make you a healthier soul, so that when you do come together with someone, you will be a high quality synergy source. Again, the number to the radio station here is 888-627-6008. I'm Gabrielle Cardona. This is The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. Welcome back to The Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. Today we're talking about a very hot topic, pun intended, and that is our sexuality. We don't have to be sexually active to have a very powerful sexual energy. What we create when we come together with people oftentimes is based on our sexuality, because that is a very clear source of our energy, and it is something that we exchange with people when we come together with them. And that's why we need to remember personal power demands responsibility. Responsibility involves accountability, whether we want to believe it or not. Everything that we say and do with, to, and around other people will have an impact on them. Now, one of the things I was talking about before is, you know, how laughter is a really, really good substitute for sex, and you don't need to have an orgasm in order to have the same physical and emotional benefits because you can laugh. Now, ask yourself, just take a real inventory, honest look at yourself. How often do you laugh during the day? What's your lifestyle like? What is your personality? What truly brings you elation, feelings of joy, energy, positive energy? How much of the things in your life that make you happy are a part of your daily routine? Well, you know what? I'll give you an example. I always tell my kids jokes, and I always tell people stories, even strangers, stories about my kids, because when we have frustration in our life, laughter is contagious, it's infectious. And when we have positive energy, the things that we're frustrated about and the things that we're upset about genuinely do disappear. It's a powerful force, that positive energy, and those four hormones, the dopamine, the oxytocin, the serotonin, and the endorphins. They are the real source of our energy, our positive energy, when we come together with other people. Okay, yeah, you know what? There's more joy in giving than in receiving. It's worth it to do it first. When you have given something to someone, just in a daily lifestyle, you know what? Let them go first. Open the door for them and smile when you do. You know what? When you smile, studies have shown that your biochemistry improves. It changes when you are interactive with other people. You know what? One of the things that I always tell people, even when you are in a relationship, one of the things that sometimes they don't really agree with me, I always say my children come last. One of my favorite stories to tell people is my daughter, what she embarrassed me to death when we were in a restaurant in a public place with, I think, 14 different people from my congregation. Yeah. One of the elders' wives said to my daughter, "Anya, I am so impressed with what a fine lady, young lady you are turning out to be." Well, she was 8 years old at the time, and she said, "Thank you. My brothers have raised me very well." And we were like, okay, I'm not sure what that meant. I kind of looked at her and I thought, I wonder if I should stop her. But the sister said, "Well, what do you mean by that? Did your mom and dad help your brothers?" Well, my daughter put her fork down and she said, "Yes, technically my parents were there most of the time, but if they didn't spend so much time in their bedroom talking," and she used little quotation fingers when she said talking, "my brothers wouldn't have to do their job for them." The entire table busted out laughing, and she picked up her fork and kept eating. Do you know, when kids make you laugh, things like that, stories like that, just thinking about that brings laughter to your heart. Yeah, there are so many things in life that you can store in your mind and replay, because that will bring you genuine joy. And one of the things that I've always told people, yeah, my kids knew when we were doing it because they knew that it was important for us to take good care of each other. And one of the other experiences I tell people is that when I was in a coffee shop with my husband, there was a lady who said, "Are you two having an affair?" And I said, "What do you mean?" "Yeah, actually we are." And I said, "Why would you ask me that?" She said, "Because you two are so hot for each other. You couldn't possibly be married to each other. You're both married, just not to each other." And I said, "Wow, no, yeah, we've actually been married for 25 years. We just had our anniversary." And she said, "What are you talking about? You couldn't have been married that long. No one married that long is still sexy and hot. And the way you two are, you're happy." I said, "Yeah, you know what? We make time for each other, and he lets me take care of myself. And when I'm in a good, high quality state, I take Excellent care of him. Well, you know what? One of the favorite scriptures that I like to read to people, and I'm going to go ahead and read it from the New International Version, I think. Here we go. Proverbs. No, yeah. The English Standard Version. Proverbs 5, 18 and 19. It says, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breasts fill you at all times with delight and be intoxicated always with her love. Wow, that is one of my favorite scriptures, because it says, even after you've been married for 25 years, a man really does need to be horny for his wife. I know that's a crude word, but he can be sexually aroused with her. Ladies, again, we have so much influence over men. We have so much power and potential to get things going and to keep things going. Yeah, my husband treats me like his girlfriend because I still act like his girlfriend. One of the things I love to do, remembering that positive is more powerful than negative. Yeah, I also like Proverbs 21:9 that says, it's better to live on the corner of a roof alone than in a house with a woman who's looking for a fight. So we can make a lot of positive energy. One of the things that I do to take care of myself, I stretch every day because it's good for your balance. It's good for your relaxation. It's great for your circulation. Yeah, you know what? I do it in front of my husband. It doesn't take any extra work. I would be doing it at the gym. I would be doing it in my bedroom. Well, you know what? I can do it on the living room floor while he's watching a show. I promise you, he's watching me. And that's a great thing. It's important to remember, when you are invested, when you invest your time and your energy, your love, your thoughts, you have a great opportunity to make your sexuality something beautiful and something amazing. One of the best things that I always tell people, when we had first gotten married, for me, what turned me on, I couldn't find the dustpan one day. And he said, don't worry about it. I said, I'm worried about it. Where is the dustpan? I'm getting frustrated. He got a newspaper, got the top of it wet, stuck it to the floor, swept it up, threw it away. I was so turned on by that. I actually took advantage of him right there in the kitchen. You can be fun and creative, but you have to take good care of yourself. What you create with other people is based entirely on what you have in yourself. Again, synergy is about what we create with people. Our sexual energy is a powerful force. How you take care of yourself and how you come together with other people is vital to your happiness in life. You are responsible for what you do. You are accountable to people, whether you want to believe it or not. When you have questions, go ahead and go to my email address. It's thepowerofsynergy.bbsradio@gmail.com. Or you can call a number, 425-280-8463, with your questions. I'll take them in my show next week, because no doubt people are going to have a lot of questions when they listen to the archive show. Be powerful with your synergy. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. This is BBS Radio.